in the second week of Lent, especially at the beginning of the week, our minds are still bathing in the glorious sight we saw yesterday, Jesus on the mountaintop, Jesus transfigured on the mountaintop. So that image of glory, even though we don't see it now, it remains in our memory or in the church's memory. Because the part of the reason why Jesus revealed his glory is in order to strengthen us for the difficulties of the journey through this world, especially the passion. So yes, we're aware that glory is beneath the surface of what we see here, because God has united himself with us in Jesus Christ, and his glory can't be defeated by anything, including all the terrible things we know in the world, including our own sins. So that's a very encouraging memory to keep pondering. Now, today we celebrate the Feast of St. Patrick, who is also a glorious figure. Maybe, I don't know if he ever shone like the sun, but his impact on the peoples of Ireland was so great that it transformed the nation, and the nation over the centuries became a radiant light in the world, because the Irish sent missionaries, first of all, back to the European continent and then all around the world. So it's right to celebrate the legacy of St. Patrick. St. Patrick himself, I didn't know this when I was young, is actually British. Because when I was growing up, the tensions between the British and the Irish were very severe. The trouble, especially in Northern Ireland, that was. But still, to be British in my childhood was a bad thing. We weren't told that our family was more British than Irish. But anyway, so it's a very beautiful aspect of the story of St. Patrick, though, that he, a young British man, was... Well, we would say trafficked now. I don't know how exactly he got caught up into the slave trade, but he was either kidnapped or sold and ended up in Ireland, of all places, as a slave. So talk about human trafficking. He was into enforced labor as a young man. Now, he escaped, went back to his homeland, and we don't know exactly what happened after that, because there's some disagreements about what part of the... It's now the UK he was in. But anyway, he eventually was ordained a priest. He was sent, or volunteered, to go back to the country where he was enslaved in order to bring the gospel. So part of the radiance of the story of St. Patrick is that willingness to put himself at the service of the very people who enslaved him. So forgiveness, love of enemies, it's all evident in St. Patrick. And great faith. Okay, so that's part of what we are celebrating today. The radiance of glory, which we saw on the mountain, is evident in the saints. We might think, well, it's not evident in us, so why do we think about it this way? Well, it is evident in us, or it is hidden in us, as long as we are opening ourselves to the power of God, to the grace of God, to the mercy of God. And I think that's what comes out beautifully in today's readings, this invitation to be part of this cycle of forgiveness. At the beginning of today's gospel, Jesus says, "Be merciful just as your Father is merciful." So it starts with the mercy of the Father, and then because the Father is merciful, we are being invited to be merciful, to be like our Father, to be transfigured. If we skip that verse, we could easily misunderstand the whole rest of the gospel, because you could see it starts with the mercy of the Father, but if you skip that verse and start with the next one and say, "Stop judging and you will not be judged," it might be misunderstood to mean if we're good enough that we don't judge others, then we won't be judged. That if we're not condemning, then we won't be condemned. If we muster up enough strength to forgive, then God will decide to be forgiving to us. As if it all starts with us. we make ourselves good enough, and God sees that we're very good and decides to be good to us. You see how reversed it is. So that can be misunderstood. Give and gifts will be given to you. The measure with which you measure will in turn be measured out to you, as if we're the standard that God follows. No, not at all. We're following his standard. Or if you want to use the language of Bishop Barron, famous bishop in the internet world, he calls it the loop of grace. The loop of grace. God is merciful, and if we're responsive in faith to that gift, then we're merciful, and then when we're merciful, God is more merciful, and then we're more merciful, and he's merciful. It's a cycle that leads to a great transfiguration if we're willing to participate in it. Okay, so that's what is the whole picture. Let's go to the first reading, because actually the liturgy today builds beautifully from the first reading to the psalm to the gospel. In the first reading, the declaration in this reading from the prophet Daniel is that we're sinners. We are sinners. We're acknowledging the truth of our fallen condition. And that's almost as far as it goes. We're sinners, we've rebelled, we've broken the commandments, we haven't followed the prophets, we haven't followed the commandments, we've sinned just like our fathers, and it's a declaration of a sinful people. Now, no one can do that without some, at least, intuition of the mercy of God. No one can dig that deep into one's own sin unless there's some assurance that we won't be destroyed for that. Because if we're not confident in the mercy of God, we won't dare to expose our sins to him. So that's why knowing God's mercy is like a prerequisite to being able to pray this way. It's not that clear in the prophet that he's actually asking for mercy. I mean, it says that, yes, the Lord keeps his merciful covenant. It says that with the Lord are compassion and forgiveness. So he acknowledges that God is merciful, but he doesn't outright say, Lord, have mercy on us. But it's implied. That's why I want to say it this way. It's an acknowledgement of guilt, which is impossible to make at any depth unless there's some, at least, hope that God will be merciful, because otherwise, no sense exposing ourselves to the judge and make ourselves look bad when we're going to get punished. You see the idea there. So that's why when we're cut off from God, we tend to hide ourselves, hide our sins. And when we're open to God, when we have faith in God, when we believe in his mercy, then we can expose our sins. Now, he knows our sins anyway. It's not like we're telling him something he doesn't know. But we're set free from that fear of punishment when we trust in God's mercy. And I think that's what's happening here in the book of Daniel. It's an acknowledgement that we, and not only we're sinners, we're really, really completely broken down. And it's a long tradition of sin in spite of God's goodness. Let me go to the psalm, which is more explicit in asking for God's mercy. Lord, do not deal with us according to our sins. Remember not the iniquities of the past. May your compassion come to us. Help us, O God, our Savior. Help us because of the glory of your name. Deliver us. Pardon our sins for your name's sake. You see that willingness to say, not only are we sinners, but we call out to you and we ask your mercy. We beg your mercy. Let the prisoners sighing come before you. You can see the spirit of the Daniel reading is taken another step in this psalm. This confidence that, yes, though we are sinners, we still have hope. We still have confidence because of God's great mercy. And that's what I think builds up to this gospel, where Jesus says, be merciful as your Father is merciful. Because we know God is so merciful with us, we can take that next step and be merciful to others. Because God is not holding his judgment against us, we can take that risk of not judging others, even though our nature would like to be more judgmental. Because God is not condemning us, we don't have to take we don't have to take the position of condemning those who are guilty, especially those who have offended us. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Well, you see what happens before that? Forgive and you will be forgiven. No, we're already forgiven. So then we can forgive. And then when we forgive, we experience even more richly the forgiveness of God. That's why loop of grace is a good expression for it. Then Jesus says, give and gifts will be given to you. Good measure, overflowing. I know, good what? Siksik liglig umaapaw. This is where that comes from. Siksik liglig umaapaw. Overflow, in overflowing measure. Why? Because that's how God is. That's how God's mercy works. It's overflowing. It's over the top. The measure with which you measure will in turn be measured out to you. Well, you see, that's relative to the overall loop of grace. It's not as if God decides to measure us first and then based on what we're our measure, then he decides whether to be merciful or not. That's not the way it is. God is already infinitely merciful. The question is whether we will welcome that gift and participate in it. If we do, well then the measure is immeasurable. There's no limit to God's mercy. There's no limit. So that's where our faith needs to be strengthened, in the measureless mercy of God. When we know that, we realize we have no right to hold anybody's sins against them. Yes, we have to correct. Yes, people have to experience consequences. Yes, justice must be sought, but not with a spirit of condemnation, always with a spirit of love, so that people can be brought to conversion, so that people can enter into this loop of grace, as the Lord has so mercifully drawn us into the loop. Well, this is going back to St. Patrick. Let's conclude with the great saint today. St. Patrick must have known this, because there's no way he would go back to Ireland where he suffered as a slave unless he knew this very thing. You can imagine the natural reaction would be, to hell with them. Who wants them? Who wants to even think about that terrible place? That would be the natural reaction. So something happened in Patrick to overcome that natural reaction of love your countrymen and hate your enemies. Well, no, he wants to love his enemies. He wants to bring the gospel to the very lands where he was enslaved. That's why it was so effective, because he became an agent of God. Who's Patrick? He's just a guy who entered into this cycle of mercy and became an agent of God for the Irish people. Well, that's the beauty of it, that God was given permission to work in his life. And if God finds an opening, well, he'll use it, right? If God finds an open heart, well, then he'll transform it. So that's our hope in the Lenten season, that we who are also recipients of this great mercy can become agents, we can become missionaries of mercy ourselves.